Part 4, Chapter 1, The Temple of the Tomb of CRC. We will now proceed to a profound consideration of several aspects of the miraculous reality the modern spiritual school entered on August 20, 1953. We stand as a group in a marvelously organized new magnetic body, otherwise indicated as a magnetic sphere of a magnetic field. We emphasize that we stand in it as a group. As an individual, by your pupilship, you take part in this magnetic body, but it cannot be accounted for by you as an individual. It has not been constructed by you, consequently, you would lose touch with this particular magnetic field if you were to leave the spiritual school. The most one can say is that a pupil has had an active part in the manifestation that can be accounted for only by group unity. It is out of the question that the individual would be in a position to impel such a magnetic field into activity. Therefore, no one can assert, "I do not need the spiritual school." Those who take this point of view show that they have no idea of the essence of the road to salvation and the fundamental law underlying it. We do not blame them and sincerely hope that someday they will arrive at this indispensable insight. The leaders of the work who started in 1924 possessed the plan and desired to carry it into effect. However, this depends always on cooperation, on group unity. This is why one of our temple songs testifies, "Only when we walk together to join the light, our names will be engraved in the book of life." Thus we sing and profess a universal truth. The fact that the magnetic body has been established gives the group cause for the greatest joy, for it is a highly unusual event in the life field of manifestation. It is a real Christmas event, the birth of Jesus Christ in time, a festivity we are able to celebrate in truth for the first time in our lives. The world celebrates it, at best, as a historical event around which are woven all kinds of mystical and emotional veils. Only the Transfiguristic Brotherhoods really experience the birth of the Son of God. They experience this birth when he returns in the nascent magnetic body of a new Transfiguristic group. Before August 20, 1953, we were looking for his return, but now it has become a fact. The radiation field of Christ has chosen the magnetic body of the spiritual school as a vehicle for its manifestation, so all of us can participate in this joy. How can this wonderful development, of which the manifestations within our era can be counted on the fingers of one hand, be realized? We can meet this Christmas miracle only by dissociating from all traditional dialectical methods by which we understand all philosophical systems, all forms of religion, all courses of action which have been practiced in this world, and, moreover, all non-physical dialectical influences that are poured out over us in continuous streams. To all appearances, this is a hard and radical road, but the man seeking liberation must realize that everything this world has to offer, also in a higher sense, still binds him to it, be it beautiful, noble, exalted, or philosophical. Moreover, there is a truth which is applied to this ordinary nature, and which then produces certain results. You can disguise universal truth in a dialectical attire, and then try in one way or another to realize it. No doubt you will arrive at something beautiful, something grand, but it is not in accordance with the universal truth. When you meet something noble on the horizontal level, then as a seeker of liberation, you should have the courage to break with it too, if necessary, for it is nothing but an attempt to establish an earthly kingdom with the help of that which is not of this world. When, as the evangelical myth tells us, it was suggested to Jesus the Lord that he should act as the promoter, the leader of an earthly kingdom, then no doubt if he had accepted this proposal, something beautiful, something noble would have developed. As you know, he simply rejected these proposals, saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." Therefore, we should not fanatically fight against nature. as you will have also experienced personally. Fighting against things that oppress you never leads to a solution. One should know how to let go, how to take leave, to say a farewell in an absolute state of peace to the things one values very much or for which one has a deep interest. Although this world is hostile to us, we are not its enemies. How could we be? For dialectics is the school of development for the image bearer of God. If we were to say, today this emergency order is being terminated by us, and if we were able to do so, we would prevent all the entities from living their state of being as image bearers and from finding the path. Therefore, we cannot be hostile to this world. We must indeed reject evil, but our attitude to the ordinary nature should be lenient. When we have found the path and are taken up in the magnetic body of the modern spiritual school, we also possess the power to carry out this work effectively. In this way, we are best able to serve world and mankind. However, in the modern spiritual school, one should have principles. We must give up everything that resists the gnosis, and one resists the gnosis not only by adhering to the world in its coarsest forms, but also by maintaining and loving it in its finest, most subtle forms of appearance. You should be inwardly free of it and prove this by your conduct. When you go this path in group unity with other seekers of liberation, you will build together first and foremost a collective magnetic body, thus a group body. It has taken us many years in the spiritual school to build such a magnetic body, which now is in a complete living communication with the gnosis. In this body, we find a free working place and all the elements to perform the liberating work to construct the many-sided edifice of liberation. According to this world, we are of the magnetic field of the nature of death. We are in it and breathe in it as ordinary entities. Everything we do, everything we consider and want is done, thought, desired, with the force of ordinary nature. Therefore, if you want to realize the gnosis in you by means of the forces of the nature of death, you are in the same situation as the disciples who made the suggestion regarding the foundation of an earthly kingdom to Jesus the Lord. You cannot realize the new force with the old one. We can only really build in the sense of the gnosis when we are in a working place that has been freed.
After more than 50 years of intensive work and struggle, the modern spiritual school exists in a new magnetic field that is intended to be a free working place in which we can be truly called free builders. As we need meeting places in the ordinary way, so before anything else we need this new magnetic field in which our temples can radiate as foci and which is the working place for builders who have been freed from the field of nature. This also explains the true, most profound meaning of the idea, Freemason. Because of the existence of the new Gnostic working place, you are now truly able to be a Freemason yourself, and at the same time, you are able to help others. We hope you will now clearly understand the meaning of the ancient classical definition of Freemasonry. The new magnetic body exists. The free working place has been built. Therefore, since August 20, 1953, the standards for admission into the school have to be in keeping with this fact. We now have the new working place and the new magnetic fire glimmers in the forge. We cannot just open all the doors and say to everyone, please come in. No, it is clear that only those can be admitted who are really willing to build together and who will not damage the magnetic body too much. Suppose that after having built the new group body with, let us say, 1,000 pupils, we were to say to 1,000 outsiders, come in and join us. Do you understand what would happen then? These 1,000 outsiders would immediately introduce the magnetic force of the nature of death into the working place. Then the same process that is related in the Masonic legend of Hiram Abiff, the master builder, would repeat itself. The fiery basin of the new forge would shatter into pieces, and the entire construction would have to begin completely anew. Therefore, those who are to be admitted into the school may not damage the magnetic body too much. The two working places, one of ordinary nature and one of the new state of life, cannot possibly be linked. Since January 1, 1954, we proceeded to form a circle of sympathizers. Of course, we do not refuse anybody who, in one way or another, is really interested in our work. The modern spiritual school is obliged to do everything possible for such a person, for that is exactly its work in this nature order. However, it should do it intelligently with due respect for the appropriate means to help others in the right way. For if the school should be damaged, the radiation field would immediately cease to function. Therefore, we admit into the working place only those who are able and willing to do the work. Consequently, those who, as we sometimes say, are standing on the carpet, at first in a preparatory sense, and afterwards in a professing sense. We therefore distinguish two forms of pupilship, the preparatory and the professing pupilship. Let us now study the wonderful working place, the magnetic body of the modern spiritual school, which we are allowed to enter. In doing this, we pass through an experience similar to that of the Brothers of the Rosicross, who, as the Fama Fraternitatis states, entered the temple of the tomb of Sirasi and were allowed to see all its wonderful treasures. The new working place of the modern spiritual school is a true copy of the temple of the tomb of CRC in the Fama. It is said that all who really long for the brotherhood will one day be allowed to see with their own eyes everything that is present in the temple. Well, that moment has now arrived for all those who, by their inner state, prove that they carry this longing in their blood. In the Fama, we are also assured that in the burial vault of CRC, everything is preserved to the extent that, if after many hundreds of years, nothing of the Brotherhood is left in this earthly field of existence, it could be restored by means of this single vault. This statement means that when a group of brothers and sisters leaves this earthly field and passes into the immovable kingdom, a sort of universal idea of them always remains behind. In the reflecting ether of renewal, there is always present a detailed sketch of how the liberating work of a transfiguristic group should grow. When, at a later stage, a new group of seekers prepares itself from below upwards to go the same way as the directly preceding brotherhood, this group is able to read that universal plan. It is able to direct itself safely towards it and, as true architects and builders, execute it anew. That is why you can also read in the Fama Fraternitatis how a very able architect prepared himself to reconstruct the temple of the tomb of CRC, the Home Sancti Spiritus. We have now been busy with such a reconstruction for years and have entered the recreated burial vault to see everything face to face. The Fama Fraternitatis also says that one day a door to Europe will open. Well, this door has been opened. After many years of heavy work, the modern spiritual school has been allowed to build the new home of the Holy Spirit, and we now begin with a new unification in this marvelous working place of salvation. If the Gnosis wills, that is our integration for the whole world. We know that the working place, or the temple of the tomb in the Home Sancti Spiritus, is a magnetic system which has seven aspects. First and foremost, there is one fundamental magnetic force in which the seven rays are included as a complete unity. This fundamental force we indicate as Gnosis. It is the original power from the beginning. It is God, the highest radiation in the entire universe. As mortal souls, we could not possibly react to this original force if it had not been transmitted to us in a very diluted form by the Brotherhood that immediately preceded us on the path. That fundamental radiation meets us coming from the classical magnetic body of the old Rosicrucians in a very reduced way in order that we, mortal souls, may be able to react to it. For many years, we indicated this, we can it, radiation, as the electromagnetic radiation. Accordingly, we also speak of the force field of the school that is formed by this radiation. There are many in the world who experience this force field as a general Gnostic radiation. However, it is not necessary to be in the spiritual school to be touched in this way. There is a Gnostic radiation over the world which embraces and pervades the nature of death, and there are many millions who react to it and are interested in the Gnosis. They form one immense, great outer circle around the calling Gnostic heart that radiates into this world. A nascent field exists in this enormous outer circle, in which there are many millions of those who are sensitive to the Gnosis and who seek with an inner yearning, more or less consciously, to approach the source of their turbulence, the aim of their longing. A tremendous confusion manifests itself in this nascent field. Those countless people develop all sorts of speculative activities, for they are propelled by their inner interest. They try to satisfy it in one way or another. However, their attempts always result in efforts to establish an earthly kingdom, because they, as yet, do not accept the consequences necessary to respond to the Gnostic call that sounds within them. They will not let go of the world of dialectics. In fact, they are kept from it intentionally by all kinds of opposing forces. All those millions are called daily by the Gnostic magnetic field, and they react to it, yet only negatively, without correct insight. The result is that they do not as yet dare, or are unable, to say farewell. It will be clear to you what has occurred in the immense field of revelation of the Gnostic magnetic body that we possess as a group. The founding of this new magnetic body took place in 1924. The older pupils among us know only too well what a struggle this has been, reacting in the beginning to the horizontal radiations of the classical Gnostic brotherhoods. We tried, with the aid of this radiation, to affect the beginnings of building. In the midst of this confusion, while continually being attacked by all sorts of adversaries, we persevered. With the indispensable help of the Gnostic chain of brothers, we succeeded in building the magnetic body. Since August 20th, 1953, the magnetic vehicle of the school has been self-creating, self-revealing. The body, one might say, is born, is full-grown, and it can now manifest itself. Think again of the image of the outer circle with all those millions of persons who are sensitive to the Gnosis. In the midst of the chaos on the horizontal level, a Gnostic magnetic body has been manifested. As a luminous meteor from outer space, this fiery body has come to manifest itself in this dialectic field of existence. From this fiery forge, a very strange, dynamic, Gnostic radiation will come about. All the Gnostically sensitive ones who are in the outer circle will feel a strengthened yearning to approach this fiery forge. The outer circle will be stimulated by the influence of the awakening force of the Gnostic magnetic field of our group unity, and many will make their way to the new body in a yearning to go the way leading to their admittance into the working place, into the fiery forge. We began this calling work with force and in a totally new way. When someone actually reacts to the fundamental Gnostic radiation and takes the decision to enter the spiritual school, the forge itself, then the fundamental Gnostic stream divides into seven rays. Not all seven rays at the same time, but one by one. First, the faculty is released, about which we spoke in chapter 1 of part 3, the faculty of the first ray of the Holy Spirit. This is the susceptibility for the school, simultaneously with the faculty, to react to this touch.
The process of the rational moral touch decides for the candidate whether he will be able to enter the temple of the tomb of CRC.